Mention the words film premiere, and it's amazing how many people go weak-kneed and coo words like glitz and glamour. Journalists who report on them tend to be less starry-eyed. They've generally spent a lot of time standing and waiting in a pen, sometimes in the rain, praying that they'll be able to identify the talent in the passing traffic of bow ties and designer gowns. They line up beside the red carpet with microphones primed in the hope that the most photogenic actors will pause to shower them with something quotable, like royalty dispensing coins to the hungry groundlings. The one thing that they generally won't do is get to see the film. It's not every day you see Winnie Madikizela-Mandela at a premiere, but that's what happened last week. She was in Johannesburg for the opening of Invictus, Clint Eastwood's take on how President Nelson Mandela turned the 1995 Rugby World Cup into balm on the wounds of apartheid. Mandela is played by Morgan Freeman, while the role of South African rugby captain Francois Pienaar goes to Matt Damon. This time the carpet was yellow, not red, at the behest of a mobile phone company. The venue is Emperor's Palace, a pleasure dome and casino that could be Las Vegas, or the moon, or in fact anywhere but Africa. A small crowd gathered to watch the entrance of actors and former rugby players, reserving the biggest cheer for the imposingly tall, ear-stud-wearing Freeman. Mandela is surely the King Lear of non-fiction roles for an actor. He is a man who has been all but sanctified in his own lifetime, and any attempt at impersonation could seem like meddling with a myth. At least Gandhi was dead when Ben Kingsley performed his act of impertinence. Freeman moved along the line of waiting journalists, and my turn came. I found him both ridiculous, silly, immature conclusions to reach. On the one hand, Carlin said, there is a sense of nationhood, political stability, rule of law, freedom of the press, and solid democratic structures. On the other, there is corruption, criminality, and failing service delivery to the poor. He described former President Thabo Mbeki as a disaster, a catastrophe, and Mandela shares that view, I know. But the journalist of 27 years finds more to admire than despise here. He said, look where we are right now. There's a splendid casino emporium-type place. There's a highway right here with cars rushing past. This is not Afghanistan. The point is that South Africa, when I was here, seemed to have the distinct possibility of emerging as Afghanistan, as just becoming a wasteland. The words civil war were in the minds of a lot of people. Certainly, there was a prospect of a hell of a lot of violence and the country really falling apart. But 20 years after my arrival here, South Africa remains a stable country and is about to host the biggest public event in the world, the Football World Cup. Like Freeman. Did you see the movie? That's what he was like. On this occasion, I had seen the movie and was held from start to finish. Freeman, who has grace and gravitas in spades, gets many of the mannerisms and expressions right, particularly Mandela's posture and gait. More importantly, he embodies the effortless regality, wily pragmatism and magnanimity of the man, along with a shot of melancholy at his heart. In one scene, the almost all-white Springboks team takes a boat trip to the former apartheid prison on Robben Island. Pienaar steps into Mandela's old cell and pulls the door shut after him. He stands in silent contemplation of the tiny space. Outside, in his mind's eye, he can see Mandela in chains, breaking rocks. When Freeman looks up from his labours, it's not quite possible to put the Shawshank Redemption out of your mind, but the present dissolves into the past. Sporting films have a natural trajectory towards an ending of tension, euphoria, and catharsis. South Africa win the World Cup, and Mandela's shrewd investment in cultural symbolism has paid off. Standing outside Emperor's Palace, I asked John Carlin, the British author of the book on which Invictus is based, why he regarded it as such a masterstroke. First, Carlin argues, Mandela used sport to turn black people away from vengeance and resentment towards reconciliation. Second, he was able to persuade white South Africans that they had nothing to fear from his presidency. Carlin, who reported from South Africa from 1989 to 1995 and met Mandela often, told me, when he left prison in 1990, most white South Africans thought the government was completely mad because they'd been programmed to regard him as a great communist terrorist, South Africa's Osama bin Laden. In the space of 5 years, Mandela manages to turn that around to the point that practically the whole of white South Africa crowns him king at this Rugby World Cup final. But what would Mandela of 1995 make of the South Africa of 2009? Carlin replied, "I think he'd have mixed feelings. I think in South Africa to take a strident view one way or the other on what's happened here and say it's all gone terribly wrong or fabulously right –